And another thing about Terry and my favorite memories of listening to him and working with him is, regardless of the broadcast, that the interviews after the game, they were so much fun to listen to, so much fun. And passing of the headset, you knew you were listening to Terry after the game because you'd hear this, and if you don't mind, I could just rub my hand over the microphone to give the actual effect. I could just rub my hand over the microphone. And you knew you were listening to Terry after the game because you could hear the clumping of the sound of the headset passing to, you know, whoever he was interviewing, whether it was the, you know, Coach Allegretto virtually or, you know, but he really enjoyed interviewing the wrestlers who advanced to the state wrestling championships and hearing this because I enjoyed it too, you know, with Terry, and we set that up, you know, following those games. We went to several Pirate games together as right. We both enjoyed that as well.
Right.
Terry, huge Pirate fan, Steeler fan. And the stories that Larry can share, Rick can share, John can share, even Coach Lovell, and even Barry could tell you so many of these stories. I'm sure Barry will share some as well.
I think we did the regional. I believe we did the regional wrestling tournament only for one reason, because that following Saturday they had a card, baseball card, going on at the Galleria Mall or whatever the mall they trade card trading show, and I think he just. Sorry, John, but I think he did regional wrestling just to go to that card show.
Now I know the rest of the story.
Yeah, he had a huge baseball card collector. And,
Pirate fan.
And he would always say, want to go to the Pirate game? There's a baseball card show down at the at the mall in Pittsburgh.
Oh, yeah.
But that was real good. So I valued our friendship, and I valued our broadcasting together, and also as a great person to be around over the years. And one thing, too, is as far as his cancer, and he was involved with the Relay for Life, the MC of the Ridgeway Fireman's Parade. You know, we'll probably be able to pass the mic one more time, and everybody can share, you know, talk about his and his family. Growing up, watched the kids grow up, and his wife, Donna, Randy, Joe, Jenny, Angie, and, of course, Seth. I don't mention Adam's name, he might come after me, so I better say hello to Adam as well, and the grandkids, and his family, too, and, you know, his brothers and sisters. And
John, if I could say this, you know, it's great to see you back, and how's your health doing?
Much better, thank you very much. Yeah, much better.
You look great, you know, you sound great, and it's awful nice to be around him, isn't it, you know?
Good guy, John. Thanks to see you. Some great faces and friends, and I don't know about Rick, but no, I'm just kidding.
I was going to say you look healthy. I don't know if I'd say you look great.
No,
but
And thanks to Barry, too, and everybody supporting that fundraiser. I know the family was very touched, and I know if I could speak on their behalf, thank you to the community, on Terry's family, because they very much appreciated the outgoing support and the love from everybody.
Barry Morgan, you're known as the voice of high school sports for over two decades. And
that means I've been around too long.
Terry was known as the voice of high school sports in Elk County. Some stories with Terry.
I can present it in a different perspective because I was the enemy for years when I worked at another station. And we all know it in here. It doesn't show at the games and stuff, but there was always a rush to make sure you got to the field first because you knew he was going to be there or he knew I was going to be there. So you always wanted to have the primo seat in the press box. So I'd go out of my way sometimes and leave it an hour and a half early so I could beat him there. And then it would really start when he walked in. Don't you know that's my seat? And I said, sorry, I didn't see your name on it, buddy. And I met him way back, probably in the early 90s, and it was funny because we've spoken of his loud voice and how he did the play-by-play and stuff. And as a broadcaster in that booth, it was sometimes aggravating to hear that voice booming in here. And Larry mentioned it because sometimes we all don't see the same play happen in the same way. And so, you know, there was that part of it, and as we got older, we got to be pretty decent friends. And then in the late 90s, I was coaching basketball in Kane. And we had probably some of the best teams Kane's had in the last 50 years or so then. And in 1999, We felt we had a real shot to win District 9, except El Catholic was in the way like they always were. And they had pounded us twice in the regular season. I mean, they just beat our brains in. And here it ends up that we have to play them in the finals for the District 9 championship. So we had left the semifinal game, and we were in the bus going home, and we were listening to Terry and Bill Fulton, longtime Johnsburg coach, and they were doing the game. And we left at halftime, so we were catching like the second half, and then Terry and Bill went into a little speech at the end about how they felt Elk County would win the District 9 championship because Kane kind of played out of control at times and this and that. So I'm sitting there with a pen writing everything down, and I just let them go. So before the championship game, I read that to the kids, and I said, now make sure when we beat them tonight that when we're out at center court, hold your trophy up so that they can see it, and maybe they'll get the idea. And luckily, we beat Elk County by 2 points in that game. And it was just back and forth, and I would have loved to have been able to do it on the radio, except I was coaching. So afterwards, Terry called me a day or two later, and he said, hey, what was with that thing holding up the trophies for me and Fulton? And I said, well, it really wasn't for you because you didn't say it. And he said, well, what was said? And I said, well, you don't know, but I owe you a big thank you for motivating us to win that night. And he goes, we did? And I said, well, I'll tell you the whole story someday. But I said, I changed it a little bit in the locker room. But that's the way that works. So he always laughed about that. Whenever he'd see me, he'd say, do I have to watch what I'm saying tonight? Are you taping me? And I said, you don't know. You just be good to me, because what goes around comes around. And then one time, we were both doing a game over in Smethport, and it was a huge game. Ridgeway was loaded, and so was Smethport. And there was a play in the game where one of the Smethport kids got knocked absolutely cold on the sideline. And it was a gorgeous hit by the kid from Ridgeway. I mean, it was as legal as any hit you'd ever see. And boom, the kid from Smethport just, I mean, his legs, his arms, he lost control of everything. And he just hit the ground, and he's out cold, and there's a big hush in the stadium there. And so I automatically went to commercial break, and Terry and those guys were talking about it down on their end, and I just let it go. And I didn't know if the kid would get back up or what would happen, but eventually the kid got up. And to make a long story short, the next week, there was another radio station in there, I think a radio station from Smethport, and they were screaming and yelling during this whole thing. Well, I knew that what happened was the Ridgeway football coach calls the radio station where I'm working, and he said, I really want to take exception. I had a bunch of phone calls last night after that game on Friday, and you said that was a cheap hit and a legal hit and something like that. And I said, no, I've never said anything like that in my life. And he said, well, I was told that. People were listening to the game. And so I called Terry, and we talked, and he said, no, I didn't say that. So we always recorded our games up there. So I played the whole thing back, and never did I say that. So I sent a copy of the game to the coach and said, here, figure it out. It wasn't me, and it wasn't Dietrich. It was somebody else, another station in the press box that did that. And so you always run into those things, and as years go by, we get closer and closer. And this is hilarious because you brought up about last year at District's
level. Oh, yeah.
What happened was I knew that Dietrich would be there early Friday, because when you're at Clarion doing any type of game, you better get the end of that press box. You better get the corner, or you're not going to see anything that happens directly below you. Well, that's where the third mat is for wrestling. So if you don't have that place, you have to stand up and lean out over and turn to the right. And you get all kinds of cramps and stuff the older you get, you know. So I get in that press box, and there's nobody there. And I thought, uh-oh, wonder what happened. Must be Dietrich's a little slow today or something, you know. So I hurry up and I set everything up in that corner. Well, Larry comes in, and Larry's a nice guy, and Larry's bringing the stuff, and they set everything up, and Larry never says a word. So I'm thinking, well, that's cool. Well, Saturday morning, I get there an hour early because I wanted to see the look on Dietrich's face. So I walk in the press box, and he's standing there waiting for me. And he said, you and me got a problem, buddy. And I said, yeah, what's that? And he said, that's my corner. And I said, I didn't see your name on the seat. And I'm just kind of jerking him a little bit, you know. And he gets right up in my face, and he said, I'm telling you right now, this is where I'm going to be. And I said, that's right. You can sit right beside me, and I'll hug you the whole time. And we'll get through this, because I finally got the darn corner, and I ain't moving. I mean, this is where I got to be. And he was really upset with that. And he walked away, and then he'd keep looking at me, and then, boom, he got that phone call. And I was sitting, as fate would have it, I'm sitting right beside him hearing the whole story, and I thought, oh, my. How childish of me to, you know, scream over a corner booth when that poor guy's going through all that besides the problems that he had. So, you know, those are just some of the things that I ran into him with the years, through the years. But he was always so personal, and I think we'll each get a chance to give a shot on that too, a little story. And since I'm here, I'll start it. He was always involved in Relay for Life. And when my daughter was diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma, he and I spent quite a time talking. And he actually came to that first Relay for Life and walked laps with me and my daughter. And, you know, I never really ever forgot that. It was just so touching that a guy would give up what he was doing on a Saturday to come up to Kane to work with me after, you know, we were friends, but still you just don't expect that or of people to go out of their way. And he was so good about that, and I'll always remember that. And I talked to him probably about 10 days before he passed away, and he said, I need to ask you a question. I said, sure, what is it? He said, why did you do that for me? Why did you come down and do that broadcast? And I said, because you're my friend. And he was. I mean, it was just one of those touching moments that I'll be glad forever that I had and that I knew Terry Dietrich. He was a great family man, a great broadcaster, and he did things the right way. And he's going to be missed very, very sorely come fall when all the games and everything starts. People don't realize how much of his life he gave up to be there every Friday or Saturday or then in the winter through the week. Just he gave of himself more than anybody I've seen in this area, and that's my thoughts.
Thanks, Barry. And I just wanted to add to Barry's story that when we were at the spaghetti dinner together, I was very touched to see Barry come down and give of his time and to broadcast for that spaghetti dinner, because the first thing the kids did was call Terry up at the house, and they put the radio on for him so they could hear that. And first thing Barry asked John, would you, you know, come on to share some memories with Terry? And that's the first thing we did. So I had the opportunity to say a few words, and I felt pretty good about it. It was the first time I actually took the steps to go on the radio since I had some issues, and I felt pretty good about it as well. And just to say a few things about a couple things about myself and Terry, you know, we were extremely close, and I was able to feel pretty good about the broadcast. And not knowing if I'd be able to, and knowing Terry's situation, I was able to go up and see Terry at the time, and we were able to share some pretty good moments. And people say, well, what was Terry's personal life like? Was Terry not only was involved in sports locally, he was all about sports too, talking to his family and a lot. Because when I went up to see Terry, and watching, he was sitting there in the chair, he was watching the Masters golf at the time. So, and I mentioned about a couple golfers. He says, "Oh, you wouldn't want to be rooting for him. He's having a horrible day today." So, he was always talking about sports and up on everything. He asked about the spaghetti dinner, and he says, "Well, why would Barry be there?" Because Barry wanted to be there to help you out. So he was really, really happy, and he said thanks because he was able to hear a couple of the reports, and he really appreciated everybody's support and what everybody was doing. I mentioned that Larry was there, told him that, you know, Larry said hi, and so to help Terry out, I actually gave him a play-by-play of everything, what was going on. So I had to bring out some of the old times, and I gave him a description of all, and talked about the Spaghetti Angels because the Ridgeway Firemen and how they were all volunteering. And so I felt pretty good, able to give him a little bit of descriptive things which were, you know, going on. Again, larger than life human, what can you say? Maybe the good Lord needed a play-by-play guy for the all the great ball players in that Field of Dreams commercial. He was just somebody that you. John talked about all our sports announcers that we've had in the area. You put Terry in the same class as what Eddie Easton, Cowdersport, Gibby Hoffman, a good friend of ours, Jim Warner from St. Mary's, if you guys can recall Jim, and just. I can go on and on and on, you know, perfect, you know, a list, but Terry's a great human. We mentioned Relay for Life. He also started an all-star district wrestling event. He couldn't do it this past year, but we hope maybe we can get something together going on and on. But Terry, we definitely miss you. And, you know, maybe Rick mentioned about a press box. We know it as Deke's House, and we're always going to know it as the press box is Deke's House. Yeah, we miss you, Terry.
John, you have any final words that you might want to say, John Salter?
Well, you know, one of the things that I have enjoyed in this past 45 minutes is that we're speaking about the human side of a person who was, when you break it all down, was simply what we're all supposed to be. You know, Terry was a family man. He, as I mentioned before, his biggest tribute to Terry is being a husband to Donna, to being a father to those kids and those grandchildren. And I think that's the biggest tribute that any one of us could ever hope to have when our time has come. You know, gentlemen, I've been around these radio stations for a long time, and these sports broadcasters are a bit of a different breed. while there's a competitive nature among all of us to represent our own stations and to do the best, there's something special about what all of you do. First of all, our broadcasts, no matter what station is on, does one great thing. It enhances the atmosphere of the schools and the student athletes at those schools. And you guys, and I don't do it for the money, obviously, but the fact that you all can do the same thing and sit in front of a microphone and watch this sporting event and give the credit to these coaches and these student athletes who do such a wonderful job, win or lose. This is the type of, and recall a play, and I recall putting in an article that I put on our website about Terry, and you all can do this. You can sit and look at a play and recall a play from a week ago or 20 years ago, the athlete that was involved, what the situation was, and, you know, there's a magic about that, and it's a magic that when it's on radio is totally different from it being on television or anywhere else. They can't do that at ESPN, and they can't do it at Fox. You know, these are our hometown kids, our hometown schools. It's competitive, but then, you know, when it's all out in the wash, it's all about kids and community. This is what Terry brought to the table each and every week. Absolutely loved being there in front of that microphone. Wasn't for the money. Knew the kids, knew the school, knew the community. Represented his radio stations well, was a husband, father, all comes down to that. Job well done.
John Lovell, do you have any final words?
Well, I do want to mention that I know Terry wanted to desperately hang on to see his daughter get married. And as we air this program, her wedding will have been yesterday, his daughter Angela. And he didn't quite make it. But I think, as Barry says, as far as broadcasting is concerned, when this fall rolls around and football starts, and especially basketball, Ridgeway's going to have a pretty good team this next year. They won 21 this last year, and they have most of their players back. And it's a shame that Terry's not going to see that and be able to broadcast those games, because over the last few years when they've struggled to get where they're at, you know, he hung in there with them. As John said, John Allen said, you know, he always brought a positive spin to it. And as Barry said, when this fall rolls around, people are going to miss Terry in the broadcasting, definitely.
Larry Marshall, you shared a little story with us in the lobby before we went on the air here about PSA. What did that Terry mention you about getting your PSA checked?
He not only worried about himself, but he worried about other people. He was just a big, giant, you know, fun-loving guy that worried about everybody. When he found out he had the prostate cancer 11 years ago, he looked at me, he goes, if you want to help me on WKBI, you go get your blood test. And I just actually this morning got my blood work done, and I've been doing it every other year. And, you know, he just wanted to make sure everybody is safe. As far as money, last few years, we were volunteers, and we didn't really want people to know that, you know. There was no money. We volunteered. We just enjoyed each other's company. He was a great friend. I know at the spaghetti dinner, John tried to get me up to talk on the hound, but I'm starting to well up now, and I knew I probably would have been in trouble on the radio then with probably not talking and teary-eyed. He was a good friend. I'm going to miss him, but like I said before, it's a celebration of a life that needs to be very well celebrated. He's a great guy.
Reporter, do you have any remarks that you'd like to mention at the
well,
end here?
Just that's the first time I'd heard that story. Barry tell that story about Terry walking the laps with him and his daughter up there. And I guess if there's ever an illustration of the guy's character, that's probably it. But it's certainly going to be. It's going to seem kind of empty walking into the press box up there at Ridgeway this year. And no matter what they do, that will always be Deke's press box in my mind. It always will. And if there's one thing I hate, though. You know, I hate when I read or when I hear people say that Deke, and they say this all the time, he lost his battle with cancer. It's just nonsense. He didn't lose any battle with anything. He worked right up till the end. Right up till the end, even when he was sick, when, let's face it, a lot of us probably wouldn't have been there. He worked right up till the end, and except he didn't lose anything. He won. And, sorry to see him go at 57, but he worked right up to the finish line, and that's winning the battle in my mind, not losing.
Anybody else have any final words you'd like to say? John Allen?
Yeah, Danny, we all have echoed the same thoughts a lot about Terry being a great guy, and I want to just continue about, you know, his efforts. He always has been very positive. He's Larry mentioned about getting, you know, the PSA check, and I think everybody has mentioned, and even Rick saying, you know, he's won the battle because he's encouraged so many people with the fight against cancer, and he's always had open arms to anybody to talk about it. Outgoingly, because the first time I mentioned and found out about Terry's illness, and I said, did you want to talk about it? And he goes, sure, absolutely. It's okay to talk about it. Ask me anything you want. I said, well, what kind of treatment are you getting? And, you know, he openly discussed it. He says, sure, I need to. He goes, I'm learning about this as much as I can because I'm going to fight this. I'm going to win this battle. And that's the kind of attitude he wanted everybody that finds out about, you know, they have an illness. You know, you've been through this yourself, not only once or twice. I mean, this is the message that Terry wanted to get out there, you know, to people as we celebrate, as Larry mentioned, his life and everybody sharing stories. On the lighter side, the press box issue at Clarion, You want to know why Terry fought for that corner spot? At the beginning, when we went to Clarion, myself and Terry and Dean and the many, many others, our sidekicks, Mark Guido, Kevin Cowan, and the others, Jeff Kulik, and Bob Bull. I can name so many sidekicks. And even Larry came on. And when Larry came, we had to sit behind Dubois radio stations. The station from Greenville, even a Clearfield station sat over here. We have, I think, four or five radio stations crammed in this press box that Barry referring to. And, yes, this one mat was underneath. You couldn't see. So Big Terry had to lean over. He was the one that would call Matt. What was it, Matt? Three. Underneath us. We had to rely on this, like, triangle scoreboard to see actually who was winning because the wrestlers would wear green or red. Under ankles, so we had to say, who's winning? I don't know, green or red. Well, who's red when they went under there? I don't know. What's Coach Gerber's and Coach Leitzel's reaction? Is he smiling or is he, is he rooting? Is he saying yes? Or, you know, we had to watch the coach's reaction more than what we could see. But Terry could lean over and see actually who was under there. So, you know, on the lighter side, as we were getting towards the, you know, the end of the program, we could reflect to that. But if we wanted to say, and add to the program, as we have a lot of emotion here as we're ending, the biggest message we want to get across, and Terry would be looking down on us right now, is continue that fight. And for everybody to get out there and get checked up and do their checkups, whether we're talking about the guys or the girls, you know, and not just for the normal and childhood cancer as well, you know, and the Relay for Life, you know, and John mentioned about the youngest daughter, is her marriage and the Relay for Life event, all simultaneously, you know, and Terry would have been a both. Guarantee you would have been a both. And Larry, you'd know that.
Oh, yeah.
No, Joe, and I can vouch for that. I interviewed Terry for the Relay for Life, and I've had two different cancers, prostate and bladder cancer, and two-time survivor. And he is an inspiration to me, as well as me an inspiration to him. And you could just feel that in the air when I was interviewing him, that he didn't hesitate a second to want to come up here and get on the air and to tell everybody to get the men to get their PSA checked and to share his journey with the cancer. And not only does it affect the individual, but the family. And he was so concerned about his family at the time, you know. And it was just an inspiration for everyone. And when he took over Relay for Life, he really put his heart into everything he did. And Relay for Life was his life, really, at the end here. You know, he really believed in what he was doing and what a lot of good he did for a lot of people, you know, including myself. And we had many chats, Terry and I, down at the post office when I'd meet him to get the mail. He came up here to see me when he was running for mayor. He was all excited about that. He wanted to make sure the people in Ridgeway would get their just dues, and he thought he would make the best mayor, and he was a little bit hesitant about getting into the race, and needed a little extra push to get into the race, which he did, you know, and I'm glad that he had the time to fulfill his dream there, you know. But he was a great guy, and I always appreciated and enjoyed being around Terry, and I'm going to miss him a lot. I'm going to miss him a lot, and I think Barry Morgan mentioned when the football season come around and basketball, then we are really going to miss him. And you guys are a testament to the local sports. And what a great time it is to be with you all. It's very, very nice you come up and say some words, kind words for your friend. And actually, it's a family in broadcasting, like John Salter had mentioned. And we lost a part of our family. And he's going to be sorely missed, isn't he?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Appreciate you guys coming up to be on my program, Talk of the Town, and you know, I hope everybody out there, if you have any comments, I'll pass them on to these guys. If you want to text them to me or email or whatever, and give us a phone call, and I'll surely make sure that these guys get your comments. And thank you for coming on the air with me, and look forward to seeing you next week. We'll have another good guest, and it's going to be pretty tough to top this program right here, I think, you know, so. See you next week. Take care. Bye-bye.